Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Great ball for Keane. Can he finish? Yes, he can. And could that be the goal that finally ends their Arsenal jinx?
There to be hit. Deflection. Hit the post. Lennon. 4-4. Unbelievable.
Tottenham in front, it's Arsenal 2, Tottenham Hotspur 3, can you believe it?
Welcome back to The Last Word on Spurs. As you should know by now, you can follow us across a range of different social media platforms. We are on Twitter, at Last Word on Spurs. You can also find us on Facebook, and also not forgetting Instagram. As you should also be aware by now, guys, you should also be able to hear the show across a variety of different audio platforms. They include Audio Boom, iTunes and Acast. On tonight's Last Word on Spurs, we'll be looking ahead to the huge North London derby to come this weekend, and we'll also be doing a very brief season review so far. So, let's introduce the guests for tonight. I'm pleased to say back on the show, we've got Vas Coney. Vas, how are you?
Oh, good, thanks, Ricky. Glad to be back with you, fellas.
Oh, I'm glad to have you back on the show, Vas. We've got Jason back with us here. Jace, how are you?
All well and good, mate, and already looking forward to that bit of a bash on Saturday.
I agree.
Saturday lunchtime.
Well, yeah, what a game it's going to be in store. We're going to come on to it very, very soon, guys. And finally, last but not least, we've got a debutant on the show. We've got Frankie Major, a huge Spurs man, joining us. Frankie, how are you?
Very well. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, no, pleasure, Frankie, pleasure. I tell you what, Frankie, give us a bit of your background then on yourself. Huge Spurs fan. What attracted you to support Spurs when you were young?
Well, it was really my uncle and my cousin. They were Tottenham fans. And, you know, at a very young age, I think my first game was going back to 1991. Gary Lineker, Gazza had just left, or was injured at the time, rather. Or sorry, that was his last season. But that sort of era, that really was the first sort of time that I got into Spurs. And I just, like the rest of us, got addicted to going to White Hart Lane every Saturday. And unfortunately, until probably Martin Yeo arrived, it was a lot more pain than joy. But, absolutely love it, and obviously dedicate a lot of my time, like you guys do, to watching Spurs and following them wherever they may be. So yeah,
I mean, it's funny you say that, Frankie. I mean, in terms of the foundations being laid by Martin Yeo, we done a podcast recently, Jace, didn't we, with Martin Lipton, and that's a great listen out there in terms of just seeing the rise of where Spurs have come. A really good podcast that, Jace, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good to have him on, and you certainly felt his passion across the airwaves, didn't we? And the good thing was the little bit of chat at the end with his red top hat on, saying, you know, definitely only one player will be leaving, and we don't have to believe all his own newspaper reports that Dyer and Kane and Ali and X, Y and Z will all be off in the summer. So we'll hold him to that, shall we?
But I tell you, let's start with you. 11 games in, third in the Premier League, 2 places and 2 points more than this time last season, top of the Champions League group, but out of the Carabao Cup. Are you very happy, Vas, with the start of the season so far?
Yeah, I think so. If somebody had offered us that at the start of the season at this point. We probably would have took it. Of course, the Carabao Cup exit was a disappointment. I think players just took their foot off the pedal at half-time, unexplainably, really. But, you know, you're topping a Champions League group with Real Madrid and Borussia Dortmund and probably had one of our best European nights ever a couple of weeks ago. So, fantastic. And in the league, like you just said, we've got more points than we had at this stage last year. It's just a shame that there always seems to be one team that we're trying to chase down. But, yeah, happy overall. Can't really complain with things.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, isn't it, Vass? It's always the way that it always seems to be that one team already starting to get away from us. Frank, and we'll ask the same question to you. I mean, City have started, you know, so well. But have you been impressed by Spurs' start to the season overall?
I have in general. I think the disappointing thing is the home games against Swansea and Burnley. I think they were very disappointing. I mean, obviously the Chelsea game was, but the games against your Chelsea's and your Manchester United's, you expect, you know, a tight game that, you know, potentially could go either way. But, yeah, in the league, I felt that, you know, those two games, really, if you look where we are now, the gap between us and City, I think that would have really helped us maintain a credible, you know, title challenge, really, even at this early stage. Unfortunately, I do think City will blow us, you know, blow everybody out of the water, really. I think they're pulling away. I think they'll continue to pull away. That aside, I agree, the European campaign so far has been unbelievable. It's been exceptional. We've played out of our skin. But, yeah, you know, you can't grumble at the league position at the moment. Second place with the move to Wembley at this stage. You take it if you're offered it at the beginning of the season. And this was always going to be a tricky year with Wembley for us, you know, in our home games. So, yeah, a couple of disappointing results in there probably is always going to be the way. But on the whole, you know, you can't be dissatisfied. I mean, again, the Champions League has been something that certainly surprised me. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I thought we'd struggle to get through this group. And we've made completely and utterly light work of it. So, yeah, lots and lots of positives to take. And again, yeah, I think moving forward, we're in a good position as a squad and, you know, with the coaching staff we've got as well.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to disagree with that. I mean, Jace, coming over to you, Frankie there mentions, I mean, the Champions League campaign itself. I mean, many labelled the group a group of death. You know, we're topping it. We're all automatically qualified. I mean, you've got to say, Jace, on that alone, we've been brilliant, haven't we, this season?
Well, that's been the real bonus, hasn't it? I mean, those two Madrid nights, as we've touched on in the past, just amazing nights. I think, you know, the draw out there was almost as good a result as the home win, because I don't think anyone really expected us to go out there and pick up anything. So that was a fantastic night. And then that brilliant one last week. But, you know, we've made big improvements, I think, in that Champions League group this year. And I think Pochettino has made a lot of improvements himself. You know, last year he was seen as a little bit naive, a little bit one-paced Champions League. You know, we had one system of playing and that was it. But, you know, we saw with playing deep against Dortmund and trying to play on the break, then taking two strikers to Madrid, you know, he's switched things up this year, and that's to his credit. So I think he's learnt from last year's disappointment and has made the changes that he had to, and he's given the side that belief. And I think we've done that more or less through the season anyway. I think, you know, whilst we've struggled at home, I think the club just seems to have bitten onto the belief that there's a lot more expected of us nowadays. You know, we've had some sluggish starts of the season the past 2 years and got going a little bit too late. But this year, you know, with the 4 away wins, we've shown we're a little bit more up for it at even earlier stage this season. As you say, that shows with the fact that we've already got more points in the league than we have at this stage last year as well.
You disappointed, Jace, about the Carabao Cup? I mean, I know you've been one in the past. Hey, look, it's an experience for the kids as well. You know, it's one of those competitions that people may argue, Jace, it was, you know, the winnable cup for Spurs. Does that tint the start of the season, or are we going to get over that now?
It hasn't really tinted it. I think, you know, the disappointment, if we'd have got beat 2-0 at West Brom, I don't think anyone would have been that fussed about it. It was the fact that it was a London derby against the you know, the dildo side, if you like, and we were 2-0 up and in total control. So I think that's why it felt even worse on the night. But as I say, I think if we'd have gone out to West Brom or Southampton or Palace or something, then no one really would have batted an eyelid. I think we just know that we can't do all four competitions, and something has to give.
Yeah, it's one of those things, isn't it? I mean, we've been over it. I think, as I said, we've got to move on from it. I mean, Vass, bring it round to you. I mean, what do you think, Vass, we've managed to do this season in terms of improvements that on top of last season we've made, what would you put it down to, Vaz? Because it is more of a stronger start. What do you think we've done this season different to last?
We're getting something out of Moussa Sissoko. No, it's just all... what Jace touched on a little while ago, in as far as I think Pochettino has sort of prepared the squad somewhat, especially for the Champions League campaign, a lot better. I don't know, reading Gillian Balague's book at the moment, and you could see how those Champions League performances hurt him last season, and he was kind of baffled as to why we were underperforming so much. But he seems to have got that aspect right, and I think it's just that we're gradually getting more depth in the squad. I know we've got some injuries at the minute, but everybody was looking at our bench against Real Madrid the other Wednesday, and sort of looking around and saying, well, look, you know, we've got a decent bench for once, and we've got our squad's not as bad as everybody thinks. So I think there's been gradual incremental progress, and it's just starting to bear more fruit now.
Yeah, I got to agree. You look at that bench now in comparison to 12 months ago, it's like chalk and cheese. I mean, Frankie, bring it around to you. How many more improvements do you think, Frank, we need to make in terms of catch City? I mean, you made a great point. Listen, no one can get away from it. They are, at the moment, I would agree with you that they're running away with it. What do we have to do, Frank, to get closer to them?
I think we're going to obviously rely on them to slip up. That's a massive factor. But I agree with the boys in what they've just said. I think Pochettino's grown as a manager so much in his adaptation to tactics and systems. I think we could probably play three or four systems now, and the players would all be comfortable. Squad depth has added to it, so I think further down the stretch, I think we'll be in a better position this season because we've got a better squad and we've got more players than we had, you know, in key positions, quality in those positions as well. But the main thing I think that Poch has changed, and this should stand us in good stead in our hunt to obviously try and chase City down, is belief. And if you read all of his early interviews when he came to the club, and a lot about what he says, it's all to do with the belief and getting the players to believe, and the fans and the whole club as a whole, all pulling together to believe that we should be a top club and we can be a top club, and we are. And I think now, I mean, the expectancy on Spurs is that we are a top four club established. You speak to anybody, they think Arsenal will fall out or Liverpool. It's never Spurs. That's nice. Never been the case in my lifetime. So he's managed to establish as a top side. And I think to actually hunt down City, as well as obviously relying on maybe a couple of injuries and slip-ups from them, because, they, you know, someone like Kevin De Bruyne, if he gets injured, then that's huge. But I think, again, just belief, just to keep going. The away record, again, the improvements with the away record will stand us in good stead. And I think it will literally just have to be more of the same, the belief. Very disappointed at Old Trafford, I'm not going to lie. I feel that it was the game that was there for the taking, and I think, you know, it was quite a subdued performance. I don't know quite what happened there, but moving forward, the two massive factors will be belief and the games away to the other top six sides. I think those games are key, and I think I read a stat, is it Man City is the only club that we've beaten away in the last 5 years or something out of the top six clubs. I think that for me is key. We've got to get a result on Saturday, a positive one, and picking up points against the other clubs around us. I think if we continue to do that like we did with Liverpool, again, that can only help us with our progression and obviously the title challenge. So, yeah.
Yeah, great points there by Frank. I mean, come around to you, Jace. He makes a great point there, Frankie, about the away record. Now, there was a stat, we haven't really mentioned it on this show too much, about Pochettino against the top six teams away from home. Now, Jace, I'm expecting you to come back and say, well, look at Guardiola's record, look at Wenger's record. None of them have great performances away from home. Is that a mark of where we need to improve, Jace, do you think, on the road against the very top sides to, you know, have a bit more belief going to these places, thinking we can go there and win?
Yeah, I think you just need you just need to pick up one win each season, because it's surprising, you know, when people have a go at our away record. I think, you know, Arsenal have only won one away game in the last 4 years against them. And I think the two Manchester clubs have only won four. So that's an average of one a season over in Pochettino's time. So an away record, it looks awful on paper when you see one win in 16. But the best of the other records is four wins in 16. So, you know, nobody really goes and dominates those games. But what the other clubs tend to do, Chelsea and the two Manchester clubs and Liverpool, they pick up one win a season and they're competitive in two or three of the other games. And, you know, when Pochettino came there, let's be fair, our record to those clubs was horrendous, wasn't it? we've can now go to these places, and we've gone to Arsenal. We haven't lost there for what? We haven't lost there under Pochettino. No, have we?
Since four years, we haven't lost.
And, you know, Manchester City, we've got a win and a draw. You know, we got even got a draw there last year. So we have started to go to those big games and be competitive in them. The next stage is to turn one or two of those draws, as I say, into that win, and hopefully, you know, there's no better place to start than on Saturday. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Jace, looking back at October very quickly, I mean, it looked a tough month, didn't it, going into it? Two games against Madrid and the big league games against the top six rivals, Liverpool and Man United, and the London derbies crammed in with West Ham in the Cup and Palace in the League. I mean, considering, Jace, the injuries you've had to contend with, can we be happy overall from our return points from October?
I think you have to be. I mean, you know, the two games against Madrid, I thought we'd lose them both. No, I said at the time, to me, they're the best club in the world, and I thought we'd get beat, and I feared the one in Madrid might get ugly in a sense. We could get beat by two or three out there. So to pick up 4 points from those, and then also have the bonus of Dortmund dropping points, so that we've come out of the Champions League group in fantastic stage. And then to beat Liverpool, who'd been a bit of a bogey side for us under Pochettino, hadn't they? Was it no wins in six or seven against Liverpool for him? So to beat them 4-1 straight on the top of that Madrid away game, I mean, that was a brilliant week for us. And it was just the Man United game that was the disappointment. It wasn't just a disappointing result. It was a really flat, disappointing performance. And that's the one place we have got to sort ourselves away from home. But then, you know, we came back, we got that win against Palace, all right. It wasn't pretty, but it was so important to pick up those 3 points, and you know, somehow we found a way, and that's a good sign. If you can, you know, they all say, don't they, the sign of good teams is you win when you're not at your best, and other teams get credit for doing it, and sometimes we just get called, oh, Spurs got lucky. But you know, when Manchester United do that, everyone praises them for it. So no, it was a far better month than I thought. We could have easily been sitting there with 40 feet in October, that's for sure. As well as the West Ham game. So, you know, it was a good month, that's for sure. Yeah. And particularly with the injuries, as you say, we had key players missing. You know, I don't think we ever picked once from a full side in that lot. So, no, the players that came in did well, and it's been a good month.
Yeah, I mean, coming up to you, Vass, similar question to you. I mean, it's been a physically demanding month, hasn't it? Because of, like Jay says there, the injuries, and because of the games and the very little turnaround, Vass, it's been kind of games back-to-back. Are you quite happy with the points return for that period?
Yeah, I think so. And as the boys have said, I think the only disappointing performance was the Man U game at Old Trafford, which ended up being a bit of a mirror performance of the previous two seasons. Pretty even, dull games, which we lost 1-0. So that was the third time in a row that had happened up there. But overall, no, I think the performances and the points that we've picked up in October have been fine. Yes, we've had injuries, but I sort of recall this time last season, Toby was out again, Kane was out. Mm. Yeah, Kane was out. Lamella was out. You know, Danny Rose was just about to get injured again. So we sort of rode through it last season, but I think this season we may be a little bit better equipped, and we're coping okay. So I think October's good. Let's hope November follow similar suit.
I think as well last year, Vass, we had that run, didn't we, where we had 10 games without a win.
Yeah.
I think we had a lot of draws in there or something like that. Yeah, it was about six draws.
Yeah, a lot of draws.
You know, the Champions League results kind of affected the confidence of the side, and we was coming back from some, you know, that awful defeat to Leverkusen and a battering at Monaco, even though the scoreline didn't show it as a battering. And you're right, we had a few injuries and we were struggling to get any rhythm. Whereas, you know, this year we've picked up points and taken the confidence from those Champions League games.
Yeah, I think we're a bit more sort of resilient now. And I think Frank touched on it earlier about our squad and the way it can adapt. And we've got players now that can play in multiple positions. And I mean, you saw against Real Madrid, Toby went off quite early. He just moved Dier into the defence, brought Sissoko on, a little bit of a reshuffle, and we just picked up where we left off and carried on going. And that's
not many
great
other
to
clubs
see.
Can do that. Not many other clubs can
no,
do that.
No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, Frank, let's bring it over to you then. How have you felt about October, Frank? Because I mean, I'll probably argue that, listen, a fit Harry Kane going to Old Trafford, he gets that chance of Ali 1-1, you probably argue Kane puts that away and it's a completely different game, Frank.
Agreed. I think Ali this time last season puts that away. I think he's had a very stop-start to the season. I think he's coming of age this season. Game has obviously been a Madrid game. He looks sharp and at it and very good performance. But as a whole, I think you've got to be happy. I mean, Jace touched upon it. I mean, you know, we had a lot of draws this time last year, and that game against Crystal Palace, taking into account the intensity of some of the games we'd had in the prior couple of weeks, we'd had a very busy schedule, but the Liverpool game, obviously the Champions League games, the players, although they're fit athletes and all the rest of it, they're not robots. The game against Palace, it was a flat performance. Again, we have got a few injuries, but it's the sort of game, I know it's a cliche saying, but it is the sort of game we would have drawn a year or two, or even the season before, and last season, we would have drawn that game against Palace. You know, we rode it out, we stayed professional, and we got the result. And in some cases, particularly as that game was, it's important to get the result. But the month on a whole, I think it's been, you know, positive. One game I'm very disappointed in was the West Ham game. Mm. But let's be honest with you. Obviously, I'd love to win a cup, but it is the bottom of the priority list. So you look outside of those games and, yeah, some good performances. Good to see the team growing. Good to see Harry Kane putting the shifts he's been putting in and people finally waking up and realising he is a world-class striker and he can do it on the big stage. And we should use it as a platform now and take confidence from the Champions League group and how it's gone. Use that as a platform to take into these games. I think Man United have got City and Arsenal in the coming weeks. We've got a couple after Arsenal. We've got I know the Premier League's unforgiving, but we have got a nicer run than some of the other top teams. So hopefully November can be our month to you know, put a good sort of set of wins together and hope that these other teams who play each other slip up and we can take advantage of that. So, yeah, I'm sure the squad will be hoping to use the platform of October to move into the winter and, you know, busy schedule, lots of big games coming up, but take the momentum and continue to perform well and see where it takes us.
Frank, you mentioned a point there about the Palace game. Now, that kind of game there, you say that a cliche, you know, Tottenham teams in the past may not have got the result, especially, Frank, when you consider this whole Wembley vibe. Now, it seems to have settled down recently. That's probably the Real Madrid, the Dortmund results, the Liverpool. How have you found, Frank, overall now that we're adapting to Wembley? Is that kind of hoodoo thing of the past now? I mean, I think this season the record there is played 9, won 5, drawn 2, lost 2. I mean, it doesn't kind of stack up to being a massive, massive issue. Do you think we're slowly coming to terms with it now, Frank?
I think they have to. I think that, you know, these are professional players. They're all good players. We've got some really quality, you know, players in that squad. And as professionals, you do adapt. And it's like anywhere, really, in any walk of life as well. You get more used to something. You're more comfortable in playing there. And I think before it was an issue. I think maybe the players were a little bit overawed. I'm not sure what the case was. I couldn't answer that question. But we've certainly, we're performing better this season. Again, the teams that sort of come to camp and sit and you know, frustrate us, we do struggle. I know we're nicking results, but we do tend to struggle against those sides. But the bigger teams come in, like your Dortmunds and the Madrids who come at us. It's a big pitch. We utilise the space and we can punish them. But, yeah, I think we can't use the hoodoo excuse anymore because even the games I've just mentioned, the tight games where teams are sort of sitting 10 men behind the ball, we have got some good results. You know, Bournemouth was another game. We nicked the game. But I'm hoping as the season progresses, it can become more and more like home and you know, the players can adapt. Continue to put in some good performances. I mean, obviously, the Chelsea game was unlucky.
Yeah, we went for the win, didn't we, Frank? We could have argued we should have maybe sat there and took the point, but we gambled, as Poch teams do like to do.
Well, of course, and Victor Wanyama, he clearly wasn't fit. I mean, obviously, he cost us the goal in the end. I know Lloris made a mistake, but that's where the ball got nicked off him. Mm. And it was very, very unlucky. So that aside, which was very unlucky, there's one loss, which is the West Ham. It's the League Cup. We'll get over it. I know the manner, you know, it was touched upon earlier, the manner in which we lost was pretty shocking, but we'll get over that. But yeah, if you take into account the only loss there is the Chelsea game, which was very unlucky, then we're getting better there. And as the season progresses, I don't see why we won't continue to get better. It's never going to be White Hart Lane. I think the players have got over that. And I think now moving forward, they're a lot more comfortable there. And that's showing with the results we're getting.
Yeah, I agree. Let's bring it round to you then, Vass. So, looking at the Premier League alone at the moment, we face 8 games between now and the Christmas programme. West Brom, Stoke, Brighton at home, Arsenal, who will preview a bit later. We've got Leicester, Watford and the big one at Man City and Burnley away. Realistically, Vass, if I'm going to ask you at the moment, away from the eye-catching of Arsenal and City fixtures, which of the other games there are the biggest dangers for us, do you think, Vass?
I think, well, Burnley are doing quite well, aren't they?
Yeah, at the moment.
They're
Are they sixth at the moment or something
they're
like
above,
that?
They're above Arsenal. No surprise there.
Are they really? listen, Watford are doing well. Where are we playing Watford? Home or away?
We are playing...
Away.
Watford away, yeah.
We're away.
Away.
We are away.
Yeah, so they've been doing well as well. I mean, it's cliche, I know, but there are no easy games. And I think it's about building momentum. So this Saturday, if we beat Arsenal, which hopefully we will do, I'm sure that will give the players and the squad a lot of confidence going forward, and that will just take it into the next game. And I think as you build momentum, performances follow, and it just, you know, and so do the results. So I think that's all we can hope for, really. I don't know if you can sort of look at these games in isolation for the whole month from now. You've just got to lead into them somewhat, and hopefully we'll get the results that we want.
It's difficult, isn't it? I mean, Jace, come over to you. These fixtures here, I mean, like Vass is there, none of them are easy on paper. And it's some of these, Jace, the small teams you have to watch out for, because complacency does come into it at times.
Well, I think the three home games are the key ones, because, you know, when you look at it, Swansea, Burnley, Bournemouth, Palace, it's just, you know, was it two goals in four?
Yeah.
Or three goals in the four games, isn't it? To think you put those four teams together and say we'll only score three, and then say we'll put three past Real Madrid and four past Liverpool, it just shows you, doesn't it? So I think, you know, we've certainly got to up our goal ratio in those games, because if we only score one against West Brom, one against Stoke and one against Brighton, I guarantee you we won't win all three games, because one of those will nick a goal from a set piece or something. So they're the danger games, and somehow we've got to find a way to boost our goal tally a little bit against those sides. I know they'll all sit deep, but they all sat deep at Tottenham last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, West Brom we battered by four, and Stoke we battered them both by half-time, didn't we? And Brighton are obviously...
We had a very good goal difference last season, didn't we?
Exactly. Very good goal difference. I mean, that's the only argument you can say, yeah, great goal difference last season.
You know, we kind of struck our rhythm, didn't we, after Christmas, because we had struggled at home. And until that Swansea game where we put five past them. But before that, you know, we drew with Leicester and I think we drew with Everton last year at home and things like that, didn't we? So, you know, it's a
similar pattern to this season, though.
It was.
Isn't it? Yeah.
It was. And you'd think with the pitch at Wembley being bigger, it should help us stretch teams. And, you know, I don't mind a team that parks the bus, because you think, you know, it gives our clever players, Ali, Ericsson, and that.
The likes of Ericsson will break them down.
I mean, they should get more time on the ball, aren't they? If they get more time on the ball and you give good players the ball, you know, for 75 minutes, eventually you think they'll find a way through. So, you know, we've seen we can create chances against the bigger size, and it's just getting that early goal sometimes, isn't it, against the smaller size that you can say, right, now you've got to change your game plan. And maybe just also improve your set pieces. I hate thinking about set pieces as a way to score, but it shouldn't be above us to think, right, if we can improve our corners and free kick and you score from a set piece early, then, you know, it still has the same effects, it brings them out. So, you know, those three home games are the danger ones for me.
Mm. I feel like Jason, the set pieces, we've been saying that for about 5-10 years.
I don't know.
But then, to be fair, when the stats do come up, it doesn't seem many teams have such a great, you know, better ratio than us. So it's a strange one. Well, I mean,
it'd be nice to see Ericsson put a free kick in a top corner or something like that, wouldn't it? That's
maybe
for sure.
You save one for Saturday, Jace. Let's hope so. Fingers crossed. Frankie, bringing it around to you. So going into Christmas, we'll have played 18 games. I mean, in the past two seasons after 18 games, we were 6 points behind Leicester and 10 points behind Chelsea. So realistically, Frankie, we've had a chat about City already. How close do we need to be to them, Frank, to be really kind of considering still in this potential title race, in your opinion?
In going into the new year, I think if the gap's the same, if we're looking at an 8-point gap, I think it's too much. And I know it's only January and there's still lots of games to be played, but we do need to close that gap, and it will give them more confidence. It will maybe, you know, the team's chasing. If you keep a lead and you go for a huge sort of run of games, and at the end of that run of games where you're exhausted and mentally exhausted, you look at the table and there's been no progress made and you're still exactly where you were, it must be a little bit deflating and you must think, bloody hell, you know, we're not going to catch these.
No,
so, yeah, we do have to get closer. We've got a big game coming up with them early December, which is huge. And I think, you know, up until that moment, Jace is right, we can't afford to drop points against particularly the lesser teams. We should be sort of making those games count a bit more with the goals that we're scoring. But yeah, we have to be within, I would say, you know, the 5 to 6 points gap going into the new year would give us greater confidence. So yeah, we do have to try and work on cutting this lead down, because ultimately if we slip up and City don't, the gap's only going to get bigger and it's only going to get harder. So I think we need to close the gap, you know, make it a bit tighter going into the new year to give us and the players confidence of catching them, and also to remind City that we're still there, because as a team being chased, if the team is, you know, getting closer and closer, obviously again that must weigh on what they're doing and have an impact on them. So in a nutshell, yeah, we've got to get this gap down, we've got to close the gap and hope other results go our way as well. So
do we go to win it, Frank? Do you think we go to that Man City fixture? I know it's away from home, but do we have to go there with the vision of going to win it rather than just saying, look, take a point, it's still a great result? Because ultimately, you say there about the gap. I mean, that's going to be an opportunity there to trim it, Frank, one way or another.
Yeah, I mean, tactically, Poch has got to get spot on that day, because I tend to think a team like City, if you sit off them and try and meet them on the counter-attack, then they'll still destroy you. I think they can be got at the back. I know that, obviously, the improvements he's made to Otamendi and John Stones this season. But let's be honest, you know, if you're putting those two types under pressure... I think it was a Liverpool game this season. Until Mané got sent off, Otamendi was all at sea. Yep. Salah should have scored. And I think that's where they're vulnerable. So, yeah, I think going to that game, obviously, at the time, if the gap's... Depends what the gap is. But if we're still looking at a sort of eight-point gap and we're playing him, he's got to go for the jugular and we've got to get a result. So that a lot of that would depend on where we are at the time, because I think how many league games have we got before the City game? We've got five or six. So, yeah, depending on where we are at the time, I think, yeah, we've got to have the right attitude going into that game and get a result either way. I think we were quite lucky there last season to get a draw, if you remember.
We were awful, wasn't we, that day? I mean, let's be honest, Sonny bowed us out.
Yeah, we were awful. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure we can't be that bad, as bad as we were again. And, yeah, a bit circumstantial, that one, because, again, it depends on how close or how far we are from them. But, yeah, the attitude should be to win and maybe put out a statement. I mean, has anyone come close to beating City this season yet, really? I think Everton.
Everton gave them a scare, didn't they?
We're pretty close.
Yeah.
Gave them a scare. So, but why not? I mean, you look at the players 11 for 11. I think that we can match them. I think we've got equal talent in our squad. I know they've got obviously greater depth than us. But on our day, if everyone that we need to be fit is fit, I think we can beat anyone on our day. And that's not me being biased. I think that's a fact. So, yeah, we'll see.
We'll see indeed. Vass, I want to come round to you. So just back to the Champions League group for a second. Regardless of this Dortmund result, Vass, a win against Apoel will see us top the group. So the likely runners-up at the moment, from what I can see, would be Basel, CSK, Bayern Munich, Juventus, Seville, Spartak Moscow, Shakhtar Donetsk, Porto and Red Bull Leipzig. Out of those, Vass, who would you be hoping we would meet in the next round of the competition? And how far, Vass, realistically, do you think Spurs could go in the Champions League?
Who would I hope for?
Bit of a
toughie. I don't know. Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't know. Maybe somebody like Basel would be nice. I don't want to get too bogged down with one of the big teams so soon.
Would be tough, wouldn't it?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. So soon in the last 16, getting to the quarters, and then anything can happen, really. And I'm probably talking through my lily white tinted specs, but you know, why not go all the bloody way? You know, you just don't know. I think we've got a better team or squad right now than Liverpool had when they won it last with Gerrard.
Yeah.
And some of the clowns they had playing in defence back then.
Torre, yeah. There you go.
So if you look at it from that point of view, then, well, if Liverpool were good enough to win it then well, why can't Spurs do it now? But to be sort of more realistic, if we can get to the semis, I think it would be a massive statement of intent. So that's what I'm looking for from this side at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, you just think mentally as well, that would make the side as well so much stronger. I mean, we talk about, you know, going away from home and, you know, trying to get results against the big teams. To go far in the Champions League for this young squad as well, you can only assume, hopefully, it will make them feel so much, you know, that they are progressing as a team. You know, it's great getting the results away from the top six. I mean, Jace, coming around to you. But for you, Jace, how do you see this Champions League campaign? Is it more of a learning curve than realistically looking to win it?
I think, you know, blimey, I don't think too many of us, let's be fair, would have picked us as winners at the start of it. I think that the key things when you get to the later rounds that we have to learn from is that you have to go away and get a decent result in the away leg, and you have to keep clean sheets at home. And perhaps, you know, the one disappointment, I think, you know, Dortmund scored against us and Real Madrid still scored at Wembley. So you get to that latter stages where away goals counts, then you've got to start keeping clean sheets at home. and you've got to start winning your away games, or certainly getting, you know, go and get a draw away from home, and then keep a clean sheet and win it 1-0 at home. And, you know, we almost did that, didn't we, last time with AC Milan, whereas we went out there and won, yep. and then still kept the clean sheet at home. And that's what took us to the next round. And that's what you got to do in that knockout stage. So I think, you know, when I looked at the potential runners, isn't it amazing that we're after four games of the group of death, we're already looking at who we're getting in the next round. I mean, astonishing. Yeah. But that Porto Red Bull group would probably be the suit. But then, you know, what the hell? Let's knock one of the big boys out. Let's take Bayern Munich. They're not exactly flowing on all going this year. Would it be nice to send a little message down the road that's how you handle Bayern Munich in the Champions League round of 16? So I think Juve would be the one that I wouldn't want probably at that stage. But
so much experience,
other than that,
yeah,
Shakhtar's never an easy trip away. But then a lot of those, don't forget, are coming off winter breaks in that first leg as well. So that, you know, if you could get the right draw, you're meeting them when they've hardly played for a month or so. So
it's easy to get excited, isn't it, Chase?
It's
easy to get excited after that Real Madrid.
Take Bayern Munich.
But, you know,
Bayern Munich, take Barcelona in the quarters, and just keep going, mate.
Yeah, you never know.
You can tell Bass he's been fed off this Real Madrid result. You can just tell, can't you? Oh, dear. Oh, Frankie, bringing over to you. I mean, Jason there speaks about maybe taking one of these big guns on. What's your thoughts on it, Frank? Is it more of a learning process for these young players, this kind of competition?
Well, I think we're running out of learning time, because these young players, if we continue to learn, then they're going to want to move away. So I think this campaign would give us an indication, as Jace said, I think you said, that this season, if we do make a statement and get to the last four, it's a statement to the players as well, that come on, you know, stay with us, we can achieve big things. And another great point is, you don't always have to be the best team to win it. It's not like a 38-game season. Liverpool certainly weren't the best team in 05 and they won it. And you do need a bit of luck. And I think that if you look at the context of how things have panned out European-wise this season, Real Madrid, they're not performing well. They're not doing what they've done last season, certainly, and we've just beat them. Barcelona, they've been pretty good, to be fair, in their respective league. They've done well, but are they the Barcelona of 3-4 years ago? I don't think they are. Nope. Juventus, they're not top of their own league, which is very abnormal for them. Napoli have sort of outperformed them so far. Still a great side, still experienced. But again, are they as strong as the Juventus of a couple of years ago? And looking at the English teams, I think there's no reason why we shouldn't be confident, because some of these big clubs, Bayern Munich, have sacked their manager already. So, you know, that obviously isn't a good start if you sack your manager. So I think we are catching these European clubs, the major European clubs. I agree, in the next phase, I'd like an easier team. But once the quarterfinal starts, a nice glamour tie. I wouldn't mind seeing a Bayern or a Barcelona. And again, I think that the luxury of us is, if we play those sides, we won't be favourites, so the pressure won't necessarily be on us. I think sometimes that works in our favour. And we could surprise a few people. I mean, I'm not expecting to win it, but why not give it a good go? We've already showed a great account of ourselves so far this season. And if we continue to play as we did against Real Madrid and show the tactical nous that we've got in that, you know, switching tactics, formations, which you need in these big European games at a higher standard, I don't see why we can't have a run to maybe the last four and try and surprise a few people, including ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, fingers crossed. Frank, sticking with you, just looking at our injuries this season overall, I mean, we had the likes of Hugo out, Vorm, Rose, Toby, Dembele, Winks, Wanyama, Ali, Lamella and Kane already. I mean, it's been like a series of casualties, to be honest with you. It's crazy. I mean, how do we balance, Frankie? I mean, Kane is going to want another golden boot this season. There is that kind of argument where, you know, he doesn't like always being taken off towards the end of the game when he's on a brace. Can we try and keep the balance where we can keep him fit, but also let the guy get this goal, you know, get another golden boot? Or is it just a case of managing him game by game, do you think, Frank?
I think it's like all the key players, they all need to be managed. And I think they're not idiots, these players. They know their own bodies. And somebody like Harry Kane, he'll know. He's intelligent enough to know that he's not a machine. He needs to be managed, and to get the maximum from him. As you said, it's all about balance. But, you know, we've done very well with the injuries. I think, you know, it has been a problem for us. It would be nice to have a complete, fully fit squad to pick from, which we haven't had the luxury of. And I think that's all down to the management, how they rotate the players and how they do it to effect whereby it doesn't sort of see a drop in our performances or results. It is about balance. But somebody like Kane, I think he's, you know, he's shrewd enough to know that some games he maybe will have to miss out or have to be taken off, particularly when the fixtures hit. I think it's February when the Champions League starts again.
Yep.
We're still in the FA Cup. There's a lot of games to be played around that time. So Yeah, it is about balance, and I think that it has been a problem, and hopefully it's something that won't be a problem. I know the players are super fit under Poch, but I think we've just been very unlucky so far this season with the injuries. I don't think there's anything more to it than that. And again, to win titles and win leagues and win Champions Leagues, you do need that element of luck. You've got to be good, but you need that element of luck. So hopefully we can get that. And moving into the new year, if we do have a fully fit squad, there's no reason why we can't attack these competitions and attack them positively and hope to win them. Why not?
Another thing with Kane is, as well, you need Llorente to have game time as well. It's not just about keeping Kane fit. You've got to keep Llorente sharp, because probably the one disappointment with Llorente is I can't even remember him having a shot in the game that he's played yet.
Yeah, but we're not, Jace, so also,
he's offered
say,
no
Jace,
goal
we're
for
not,
it, has
we're,
he?
We're also, Jace, not really playing to his strengths. You know, I don't really see us getting many balls into the box for the guy to head amongst goals. And really, at Swansea, that's what he was known for.
No, and you would have hoped that with that Manchester United game, if you've brought Llorente in and we all accepted, you know, it probably was a better idea than Janssen. And yet he doesn't make the team for that Man United game. That just shows you it's not quite working. So he's got to get game time, and we've got to find a way to involve him a little bit more. Otherwise, he'll just become, you know, somebody that's sitting on the bench. And when he does come on for 5 or 10 minutes here and there, it doesn't do him any good. So, you know, Kane's also got to think of the overall squad as much as just himself.
Yeah, like I said, the injuries, that's one thing, isn't it? And Vash, you mentioned it again, you know, earlier, that similar to last season, it seems to be a trend, doesn't it, Vash? We've had so many injuries already. I mean, it's credit to Poch to having to manage these players the way he has to kind of get us in the position which he has done at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's unfortunate, isn't it? I don't think... I find that when teams aren't doing well, you end up with a lot of injuries, because I think a lot of players would rather be in the treatment room than on the pitch. But when the team's doing well, everybody wants to play. Everyone wants to get out there. No one wants to lose their place. And it's just been unfortunate. I mean, the injuries to Harry Winks and Harry just recently were you didn't see them coming, did you? No. So we've coped okay. The squad's in good shape. Danny Rose is coming back now, which is good. I think I'm hearing Lamella's on the horizon soon, hopefully. So who knows?
Fingers crossed, man.
One day.
So yeah, he's done excellent to cope without it. He just plugs and plays, doesn't he? Takes one player, puts him there, and they carry on, and the job gets done. So that's all we can hope for.
It's funny, Vass, but I think we have to remember that. I'm sure Poch does kind of have individual programs for these players. We look at someone like Dembele. And for him, with his hip problem, which seems to have been ongoing since, you know, he joined the club, it's so hard to see this guy complete 90 minutes. But, Vass, there must be somewhere at Spurs a structure for each of these players to have their own kind of individual plan. I'm sure, like I say, it's not to the detriment of Spurs' coaching staff these injuries are occurring.
No, I think I was touching on something that the boys mentioned earlier, but I think conditioning is so key in Pochettino's mind when he's prepping the squad for a long season. And that's why he's prone to rotate. Sometimes he could like pick a starting 11 and we'll be sitting there thinking, well, why is he starting him? Why is he not playing so-and-so? And it's all about conditioning. It's all about playing the players that are at the peak of their plan of optimum performance. And it's so critical. There's a lot of science goes into it. He's surrounded by sports scientists and all that kind of stuff, and it's very, very important to him. So I think that's critical for him.
Yeah, I agree. Guys, I promise you we're going to come on to Arsenal shortly. Jace, I have to talk about, well, touch upon the contract situation at Spurs at the moment. I mean, there's been hints dropped recently from Poch that contracts are again on the horizon. I think there's one big one that everybody is slightly concerned about, or the lack of progress on it, and that's Toby Alderweireld. Jace, I'm going to assume you're going to tell me that's the most important one we need to get over the line if we can.
Yeah, I think Toby ideally would be the one that you'd talk first, because he's got the shortest time on it, hasn't he? So, and it is a bit surprising it's dragged on, because we know from last year, I'm not so sure the dragging on is from Tottenham's side, because, you know, they pushed and pushed for so many to sign those contracts last year. And you're right, Pochettino's already dropping hints that new contracts are coming, and yet Toby's people are still saying, I haven't even seen an offer. And I'm not so sure that can be true. I'm pretty certain Tottenham will have had several conversations with him. And I think maybe Toby is maybe the one that I might worry about a little bit the next case of, say, a Danny Rose, that is he waiting for that offer from other clubs, and does he see himself at an age where he thinks, you know, I don't want to be another near miss, and maybe I'll just leave it till the end of the season. And if everything goes well and we have what a title or we've got a trophy and we're back in the Champions League next year, then fine, I can sign it then. But if we yet again finish with nothing to show for trophy wise and we end up finishing fifth, then I'm pretty certain that Toby would take the opportunity then maybe to jump. So he's definitely the important one. But obviously you always want Kane and Ali to be sorted quickly as well and get them onto that next level. I mean, Ali at 50 grand a week is ridiculous. So he's earning what, half of what Luke Shaw's earning. Yeah, that sums it up, doesn't it?
So puts it into context.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's less than half, isn't it? It's less than half. It's about 40% of Luke Shaw. So, you know, that's an important one as well.
Yeah. I mean, bringing it over to you, Frank, we're going to touch on Arsenal in a second, I promise, guys. I mean, Frank, you look at what's going on over there with their contract situation in comparison to Spurs. It is like chalk and cheese. But, Frank, I mean, we have to bear in mind that it looks like for Rose and for Aldevira, they seem to be saying, you know, the next contract I sign is the big one. And we are seeing the hesitancy. How important is it, Frank, that we do get these players tied down? I mean, can we afford to lose someone like Aldevira? Well, he seems absolutely key to Spurs.
No, we can't. I mean, unfortunately, I believe Kane and Ali, I don't think they'll have any problem with signing. From what I hear as well, a lot of the players, particularly the attacking players, are on very highly incentivised contracts.
Yeah.
So Kane earns a lot more money than you think. Yeah, the bonus structure. So, and I also think that Dele Alli's not silly. His football's gone extremely well since he's been here. And the younger sort of players, I can't see leaving for at least a few years. Toby Alderweireld is massive. I mean, as good as Jan Vertonghen's been this season, he's been probably our best player.
Yeah.
I think Toby, as an all-rounder, probably eclipses him very slightly. But he's key to everything we do, Toby. And you know, we've got to tie him down. I don't know why we've let this situation come up. I'm not sure why this wasn't eradicated last season. Maybe it was the player, as you have mentioned. But him and Danny Rose, they've got real no allegiances to Spurs. I mean, Danny Rose is from the north of England. Mm. I think if Man City would snap our arm off for both of those guys. Mm. I think Danny Rose, Manchester United are looking for a left-back. Mourinho's come out and said he's a fan. That's a bit of an issue there. But Toby, I think that Manchester City would throw money at him. I think he's better than what they've got. I really do. And he'd walk into their team. So we've got to sort it out. Whatever happens, however he does it, Daniel Levy's got to offer him something that makes him want to stay. What is he now, 28? Toby? 28 years old.
It's his next big contract.
28 years old. Yeah. Yeah, it's his next big contract, I think, for the next 4 years. He'll probably see his peak as well for a centre-back. So
yes, it will
be worth the money, certainly.
You're confident, Frank? Can we get it done, do you think?
I'm confident. I think he likes his football at Spurs. But again, I mean, some of these contracts that these players are on, like anyone in any walk of life, in any job, you look around and see what people doing the same job as you, in some cases not as good, are earning over double. Your head's going to turn. It's just human nature, and why not? I mean, these players deserve their, you know, the money that they earn more so than some of the other players who are earning more money. Luke Shaw on £100,000 a week is ridiculous. He's played what, one game in the last 6 months?
Yeah.
And you know, if you're Toby Alderweireld, you'll be looking and thinking, hang about, well, if he's worth that, what am I worth? So, yeah, we've got to get him tied down. He's key, regardless of who we sign, regardless of Sanchez coming through and being 21. To me, it doesn't matter. He's got to be pinned down, or it'll be a huge loss.
Do you think, Vass, coming over to you, do you think the issue we've got is that when we're reviewing someone like Toby's about, you know, looking at his contract, do you think the argument is that, you know, we have to then look at Kane, you have to look at Ali's? It's more of a case that if you upgrade one, then it means you have to kind of consider the others around him. Do you think that's the problem as well with Spurs? Is it like a crossroads they're coming to all these contracts, the big guys?
There is an element of that domino effect.
Mm.
I think the contracts at Tottenham are heavily incentivised, and I don't think the gap in wages is as high as being reported. I think as well, the problem is there's no register, there's no benchmark to go to and see exactly what a player is earning at any other club. We just go off what's being reported or what's sort of out there. And quite frankly, we don't really know what's going on. We don't even know how much Harry Kane's on. Or Dele Alli. Is he really on 50 grand?
Well, especially if they're being incentivised as well, we don't know, do we? In terms of the
bonus structure. I mean, if Dele Alli was only on 50 grand a week, the first thing he'd do is sack his agent.
No, you're right.
He has.
Well, I think he has. might as well be a super agent.
But there you go. I mean, I don't know how much we can put into the, all this rumours about contracts and everything else. But I'm going to harp on to Gillian Balagay's book again. Nice, I know you guys had him on as
we
well.
Did. Yeah, yeah.
And he said that about players wanting to be part of something special.
Mm.
And I think there's something about that at White Hart Lane, not White Hart Lane, at Spurs at the moment. And whilst money is important, I don't know how much it is the be-all and end-all. For those players for whom it is important, if, for example, Danny Rose is one of those players, given his interview, then, yeah, his head will get turned and he'll move on and he'll go. But generally, I think, if you keep the squad happy, if they're playing winning football, and if the odd trophy starts appearing over the horizon, I think that outweighs everything. But in as far as Toby's goes, I fully appreciate his position, given that he's 28. He's probably going to be his last big contract. But I'm pretty sure Spurs will look after him.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
So I'm hopeful, yeah.
He deserves it, doesn't he?
Oh, he does.
Yeah, he does, absolutely.
Yeah, there's no argument in that.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you what then, well, let's bring in the chat about Arsenal because we are running very, very much out of time. Jace, let's bring it round to you then. The talk of Danny Rose, he's returned from injury. Fingers crossed Lamella, Wanyama, Hugo and Toby also returning soon. Jace, I think the question is, what is our strongest side and the system going into this one? What's your thoughts on that?
It's really strange, isn't it? Because I like Sonny in the side. And the only way you can get Sonny in the side is to put him alongside Eriksen and Ali and Kane. And so that means you've got to then switch to four at the back. I think there's times when we played Liverpool and Madrid and sides like that that give us space and they come at us. I think that back three system works really well. But some of the other games I look at and I think get that one extra attacking player on the field because, you know, who are West Brom going to be more worried about as an attacking player? Ben Davies coming at wing back or Heung-min Song in alongside Ali, that gives Ali a little bit more space as well. So I think we'll still go with three at the back at the Emirates, that's for sure. But I'm still a fan of like I say, 4-2-3-1 against some of those smaller sides at Wembley, that's for sure. And I think Ben Davies plays on Saturday. I think it's probably still a little. Yeah,
still
I think
Davis,
it's probably still
Rose,
a little bit still too early. A little bit off, and he's still a bit off.
Yeah, it's still a little bit. And let's be fair, Ben Davies hasn't put a foot wrong, and he's been creating chances, and he's got a couple of goals and things. So there's no reason to panic.
I think
there,
he's the most improved player I've seen at Spurs in years. I couldn't stand him a couple of seasons ago, but he's really improved. No, I credit to him. He's been brilliant. You're right.
Yeah,
so I think you'll go Trippier as well. I think Trippier goes on the other side because you just fear that Aurier still, you know, there's certainly signs a bit of rashness and diving in and that. And you certainly don't want that at the Emirates. So I think, you know, Trippier and Davis start and it's back to three at the back and probably Sonny's on the bench.
Frank, let's bring you in. Do you agree with that, Frank? Would you not have Aurier and Rose?
Yeah.
Some may argue,
no, I agree.
Let's put the fear up them. Let's go attacking. You know, because I think, Frankie, let's be honest, defensively, they don't look great. I mean, they do look like they've got flaws in there. Do you think that's somewhere, a situation in the fullbacks, we can expose them?
Potentially. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, the fullback situation is quite difficult because Kolasinac, I think, is a good player. And I think they'll go three at the back and they'll try and, you know, they'll try and push him up further up the field. And I think with Trippier, as good as he is on the ball, he's improved a lot without the ball. I think playing a Kolasinac type, you need, if you were to sort of make a prototype of a right back to Markin, it would be more Honoria, a bit more athletic, a bit more physical. However, his rashness at the moment, it hasn't, you know, he's not been at his best. I think he's got a lot more to give, but as things stand, I think he'll go three at the back. I think he'll go Dier, Sanchez for Tongan. I think he'll be Davies and Trippier in the middle. I think if fit, it'll be Dembele and Winks, and then the front three of Ali, Eriksen, Kane. I think that's what he'll go with. I think it's a good side. If you remember, I went to the game last season at the Emirates, and Kevin Wimmer scored the own goal.
Yeah.
And he put in a terrible performance, and Harry Kane came on at half time because he was out injured. So you'd have to say, going into the game, we're in better shape than we were last season. I think certainly in the middle of the park they can be got at. I think Xhaka and Ramsey without the ball are not all that. I think they could be exposed. So yeah, I think he'll go with a 3-4-3. I think for this particular game against Arsenal, I think we should go for the win. I don't think Arsenal have been that great this season. And I don't think we've actually won there in the league for a while, have we? Lots of draws.
No. I mean, what's the attitude, Frank? Because they seem to think that we're going to this confident. I mean, I don't go into any Spurs-Arsenal game confident. I've got to be honest with you. But they seem to think that Spurs were going there ultra-confident. I mean, listen, the game itself for them, they haven't beaten us, I think someone said, in about 5 years, especially under Poch, apart from the League Cup. So is it a game, Frankie, we do it to go there to win it rather than go there and
go there to win it. We go there to win it.
Yeah.
We go there to win it. I think we set a statement. I think it's a winnable game. Mm. I think that Arsenal are not particularly a team that can hurt us frighteningly on the counter-attack. So if we do push on, I don't think we can be exposed to the full extent. You know, we're not playing, let's be honest, we're not playing the most informing, confident team. And also, their stadium, if we get a good start early on, their fans turn so quickly.
I do, yeah.
At the moment. They're so frustrated. And I think a fast start, we've got to get out the traps flying. First 20 minutes is key. Obviously, get the crowd to get on top of them and become frustrated. And I think this could be the year that we go there and win for the first time in a while.
Oh,
I'm pretty confident. I mean, I understand what you're saying. It's a North London derby, but I don't see why the players shouldn't be confident with the couple of results we've had, particularly in the Madrid game. If we can go there and get a result and beat them at home, why can we not go to the Emirates against, you know, let's be honest, not a great Arsenal side, a few players in there suspect and go and get the 3 points.
I agree. I mean, Vass bringing you in, I talk about attitude there. Vass, Pochettino's always done well about getting his players up for these kind of games. I mean, he's got a great record in his fixture overall in terms of, you know, getting us a result one way or another, whether it's a win or getting a decent result over there. What's the attitude for this, Vass? And we'll ask the same question you asked to Frankie. Do we go there looking to win the game or do we just take that point?
No, I fully expect the team to be set up to go and win it.
And that's regardless, first, from your perspective, whoever they field, you don't really mind in terms of if Ozil, you know, Lacazette and Sanchez are out there.
No, I think our defence has been performing well past season and a bit. You know, best defensive records and all that. I think we can handle it. Obviously, we'll miss Toby, but Dyer will just slot back into a three there. The only question defensively is Hugo. I don't know whether he's going to be fit inside.
What I know, Vass, only from what I can see at the moment, is the only two massive, massive doubts are Toby and Hugo. I mean, they're probably the two that you dread the most, but those are the only two at the moment that are touch and go. We may know more in Pochettino's press conference on Friday. Those are the main two at the moment, I think, at the moment.
Yeah, so keeper is an issue, clearly. But
it's a massive issue.
It is. And I think what we've got to do is win the middle of the park, and I think we can do. That's where the game will be won for me. Interestingly enough, we had the same debate about the fullbacks on the Hotspur America pod yesterday.
Yeah.
What some of us felt that, you know, Trippier and Davies to keep us a bit more solid defensively. Others felt that Aurier and Rose to really exploit that Arsenal back line. So I think either way, whatever happens, it is. I think that their defence can get got at. And they're not really sort of pulling up many trees defensively. So I think if we win the game in the midfield and get at that defence, then I think we'll be okay. But again, North London derby is always difficult to call, but we definitely got to go there looking to win it.
Yeah. Jace, last word over to you on this one. Massive game. I'm sure both teams will want to win it. Can we go there and win it, Jace?
Go there and win it. I think we can do, that's for sure. There's not a lot that frightens me about them. Hopefully Ozil plays because he does nothing really, does he? Just flicks it around and that will help us. And then, you know, Ozil's tended to play off there, right? So you don't necessarily need the pace then of Rose. It's not like somebody's going to be trying to bomb past him. Lacazette scored goals for them, but he hasn't exactly been the success because they've left him out of a couple of the big games already, haven't they, Lacazette?
Bizarre. You've got to say, Wenger's made some very bizarre
choices. Pay £55 million and he leaves him out of a big game.
Bizarre. Bizarre. I mean, there always seems to be one, doesn't there, Jay? So with Wenger, there always seems to be one very, very bizarre decision he makes on these big games. I mean, listen, fingers crossed he does. I mean, but I don't know if he would risk the wrath of the Arsenal fans on this one. I do expect to see all three of their big guns out for this one.
Well, I think Lacazette will, because isn't Giroud's a bit of a doubt for them, isn't he?
I think Welbeck's back in their squad.
I think Welbeck's back in the squad, so they might even end up having Sanchez down the middle, or maybe Sanchez, Welbeck, or whatever. But no, I think we can go there. I'm really confident this year that it's time to go there. It's one win in 24 years there, or something like that, and we haven't won there since Yunis Kabul, have we? So
it's definitely
time to end that, and we've had a couple of painful 5-2s there in the meantime. So yeah, it's time to go there and win. We've been the better side for for I think certainly two of the last 3 years and not got ourselves across the line. So it's time to sort it, and I think we will. I feel like we'll go there and 2-0 win for us.
I'm just going to say it's a great point you made about the fullbacks, because again, as steady and brilliant as Davis and Trippier have both been, they've contributed attacking wise as well. They've both had a lot of assists to their name. I think that Danny Rose against Bellerin would probably have more joy. He's obviously a pacier player. He likes to get down the byline a lot more. So that'll be interesting. You'll see what precedent he's trying to set, Poch, from his starting 11 by the fullbacks he picks. And I think that'll be a key indicator as to how we're going to line up and attack the game. Because if we go with the Aurea and Rose combination, he's going for it. And he's going to get at them down wide, lots of pace and stick it on them. So yeah, it'll be interesting. And yeah, I'm confident.
Can you give us a prediction, Frank? Can you stick your neck out for us? What do you think?
I would say, usually, I mean, I got it, called it last year, score draw, and usually it is a score draw. I said it would be 1-2 last year, and I was correct. But this year, I'm going to go for 2-1 Spurs. I think they'll score. But, yeah.
Okay. Fingers crossed you're right, Frank, again. Fingers crossed. Vass, bringing it over to you. Can you give us a prediction for this one?
I'm on the wrong pod, aren't I?
Oh.
All this confidence.
All this positivity.
Spurs fans being
what's
confident.
Going on?
What's all that about?
Don't. Honestly. It's always the way, Matt. Always the way.
It's going to bite us in the arse,
isn't
it?
I know. Honestly.
I don't know, mate. I'll just hang it out there then and say 3-1 Spurs.
3-1 Spurs. God, we are going crazy.
3-1 we Spurs. We are, totally.
Jace, I want to bring it over to you very quickly before we wrap up. You mentioned all the time, Jace, about gamecraft. If Aurea does start, how important is his discipline for this game? Because we've seen against West Ham and even Real Madrid away that he does seem to have a tendency to, I mean, maybe let's say exert himself in the wrong situation. Is that a massive thing? Because under Poch, Jace, you've got to say the record in terms of discipline, it's fairly decent.
Well, he's got to. He simply has to keep his head, doesn't he? You know, he even dived in once last week, didn't he? When on Zaha, didn't he? If I remember rightly.
Yeah.
Where he just thought, why are you going to ground so early?
I still think there's definitely a player
the problem.
In there, Jace. I mean, there's still definitely a player in
there.
Yeah, it's going to take time.
I think he's just going to need a hell of a lot of adaptation to the Premier League. And I think he also needs to get himself fully fit. Because I think he's looked okay going forward, but he's not always been quick to get back. And you've seen Sissoko have to drop and cover him quite a few times. And I think that the other slight disappointment I've seen from Aurea is, having got forward, he hasn't actually delivered that much quality into the box, has he? Apart from the ball in Madrid, I can't think of one really good cross that he's put in there. And that's the difference with Trippier and Davis. Whilst they haven't got that pace, their delivery has been so much better.
Second to none.
But and so, but no, you can't afford anyone diving in and doing something stupid there. I mean, we had it, didn't we, with Adebayor four or five years ago when he charged. That was about 20 minutes in, wasn't it? And you just can't do that. Yeah. But, you know, the clever thing is by gamecraft, it's not just not doing it yourself, it's to suck Xhaka into doing something stupid, like we got with Coquelin. Coquelin got sent off a couple of years ago?
Yeah, he did.
And so it's also sucking them into it. And Xhaka's the type of bloke that maybe a Dele Alli can suck him into something, and you get them down to 10 men as well. So I don't like cheating like that, but I make an exception there. I don't mind anyone cheating there.
Against them lot.
No problem with that. No problem. If Kane scores with his hand and he's 2 yards offside, I don't care. In fact, I enjoy that even more.
Yeah, you go. Earn it
it's
for
even
me first.
More then.
Jace don't care. Frankie,
not at all.
Thank you so much for coming on tonight, Frank. It's been such a pleasure having you on. I hope, Frank, we'll get you back on the future at some point.
Yeah, my pleasure. It's been great to be on, guys, and really enjoyed it.
You're a top man. Thank you so much. Vass, thanks for coming back on as always. Always a pleasure, Vass.
No problem. My pleasure, Rick. It's been really good. Enjoyed it, totally.
You're a top man. And Jace, we're going to be back, aren't we, on Tuesday reviewing this game. So fingers crossed, Jace, your prediction will come true.
I hope we're in a happy mood, mate.
I hope we're in a happy mood. Guys, as always... Yes, agree. Guys, as always, a massive, massive game, North London Derby this Saturday. Let's hope we're talking about a Tottenham win next week. And as always, come on you Spurs!
Is Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say! Brilliant! That is schoolboy's own stuff.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.